The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday's my day of politics, so my guest will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanksan, pioneer, local legend, nefarious character, or a repeat offender once a month.
All of the above.
Friday is all about Fairbanks. Excuse me. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks. Give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get to your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. We are at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, Joni Skillbred, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
As always, you driving into town was not an issue? Too much of one anyway?
No, it was fine. The first part's challenging because I live in Two Rivers, and anyone who lives in Two Rivers knows all too well that the buck stops at Nordale Road.
Yes.
The further east you go, the more snow. So we got quite a bit more snow than Fairbanks got, but they plowed to 8 Mile. But after 8 Mile, you know.
Forget it.
You better have good tires.
There you go. What, you know, we have great subjects, and this one, you are really excited about this. Tell Fairbanks what we're going to do.
I love this story. I first learned about this several years ago, and I've just been sitting on it, waiting for a good time to share it. And I thought now would be a great time. And we're going to talk about in 1909, Fairbanks was hit with marathon fever. It was part of a national fad of running marathon races.
You know, we have a phone call we're going to take real fast, okay? Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name is Mike. I'm sorry to change the subject, but there's something that I'd want to say because I won't be here tomorrow. I'm getting on the plane tomorrow morning. The squabble in the paper about Tolovana Hot Springs and Doyon, it looks like Tom DeLong just wants to make Doyon look bad because it looks like Doyon is kind of, well, we don't mind if you use your trail that you've been using year after year after year, but just don't make a mess of it, please. That's basically what Doyon's saying, and Tom DeLong looks like he wants to just get Doyon in the paper and make them look bad. And I didn't like that one damn bit.
Okay, Mike, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Okay, well, with that, we'll go back to marathon racing.
well, this marathon race is a lot worse than anything going on with the Tolovana Springs issue.
Oh, yes. So I like to always begin at the beginning.
In the beginning.
Modern marathon racing.
Yeah.
In the United States kind of started with the 1896 Olympic Games, and that was the first Olympic Games, modern ones, and they were held in Athens, Greece, and one of the big events was a 25-mile marathon race. And I mean, it was, people just went nuts over this. So it was reported on all over the world. And if you look in old newspapers, it's pretty incredible. I mean, this was...
You know, if you're going to go back to the beginning, how did the marathon start?
Well, it was an ancient sport.
No. Oh. How did it start? What happened?
Which one?
Why is it 26 miles, 385 yards, a battle marathon, Greek?
I don't know.
A Greek battle. The messenger to tell the king he ran 26 miles, 385 yards, went up to the king, I think it was Athens.
Oh, yes.
And he said one word, victory, and he died.
Yes.
And so after that, they start commemorating the race from Marathon to Athens, 26 miles, 385 yards, and that's how the marathon race started.
The ancient ones,
Yeah,
so this is like one of the oldest sporting events.
Yeah.
And people just went nuts over it. So it wasn't long after that first Olympic race in 1896 that in April of 1897, they started the Boston Marathon, a race which is still run today and is, you know, like one of the biggies. It's the granddaddy in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of went from there. And I think part of it was people liked the history of it. But it also, if you think about marathon racing, you don't have to have any special equipment to put on a marathon race. And it's also the racers themselves. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your economic, your socioeconomic background. It's man versus man running.
Yep.
And, you know, it just really strips it down to those bare essentials. And it's also a test of endurance. And, you know, we've been doing that since before history, modern history. So it had all of those ingredients, and it just kind of took off. And it was a craze across the United States. Well, Alaska, even though we weren't a state, was not going to be left out.
That's how our attitude has always been, and it still is.
Yes.
We're not a state, but we're not going to be left out.
Yes. So in Nome, that was the first big Alaska city to have marathon racing. And in Nome, in the wintertime, you know, Nome is a pretty rough place in the winter. It's miserable.
Yes, it is.
And so they had indoor sporting events. And men would bet on these events, and they would bet heavily on these events. Alaskan men liked to bet. They would bet on anything. In Fairbanks, we were no exception to that. Jack DeYoung wrote in his book, Boomtown Boy, that in Fairbanks, men would bet on schoolyard fights, schoolboys getting into a fist fight. Men would show up and put money on it. It was that bad. So in Nome, the races were run indoors in the winter months, and they were put on by the Nome Tournament Club. And they held these races about every 6 weeks, and it took 32 laps to run 1 mile on the indoor track, that's a pretty small track.
That is.
And you're going to run 26 miles on this? I mean, yeah.
5,280 feet divided by 30.
Yes.
And so you're basically, you're looking at about 1,200 feet.
Yes.
On a track.
Yeah. Yeah. But
1,200 lineal feet, yeah.
There was nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And it ate up lots of time. It was pretty exciting. You can bet on the best lap time. You can bet on the best 10-lap time. You know, there's all these different ways you can come up with to place bets. So it was kind of the ideal winter sport. The prize money in one of these races was usually about $1,000, which would equal about $27,500 in today's money. So, I mean, these were...
That's some big bank.
If you were a good runner...
You're getting some bank, yeah.
Yeah, you were making good money. Yeah. And later on, they had a special 35-mile race that was arranged with the top four marathoners of the Nome District running it. And the betting was heavy, and Jujiro Wada, a Japanese runner, won the purse that was equal to, won the purse of $2,800 in prize money. That was equal to about $77,500 in today's money. And after that win, Jujiro Wada became known as the king of the Nome track. But Jujiro Wada is very noteworthy in Fairbanks' history.
Yes, he is, yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead and explain it.
Well, when the steamer Lavelle Young brought E.T. Barnett to the spot that became Fairbanks.
You mean kicked him off
kicked
at that
him
spot?
Off, yes. Jojiro Wada was on the boat with him. And Jojiro Wada was the cook.
And stayed.
And he stayed. He was here right from day one. And when the discovery of gold occurred in 1902, that winter, Jojiro Wada took the news of the discovery to Dawson City in the Yukon and spread the word of the discovery of gold in Fairbanks. Jojiro Wada had a few issues, though. He was Japanese, and he was heavily discriminated against. And anytime anything went wrong, if Jojiro Wada was around, it seemed like everybody liked to point the finger at him. Because he was Japanese, he was a man of small stature. He wasn't real big. And he had this problem over and over again. A couple times he even got jailed for things that really weren't his fault. He just was like the ideal scapegoat, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
But he was very tough. He was a unbelievable dog musher. Some of the things he did, he went up in the high Arctic. He went places nobody else went, and he did things that were just amazing. And his endurance was just legendary. And a lot of people really revered him for that, if you were into racing.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You listen to KFAR Radio. We're talking about the marathon of 1909. We're going to get there, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Now more than ever, there's a strong desire to stay safe and to buy American. Tire Chains can help you stay on the road and keep you productive. It's what Glacier Chain Supply is all about. 30 years serving Alaska's families, businesses, and government. Truly an Alaskan company. Glacier Chain Supply stocks many brands and is proud to be the only authorized PWAG distributor in Alaska. PWAG traction chains are made in the USA using American steel, American labor, and are considered the strongest in the industry. Safety, value, performance. Check out GlacierChain.com.
This is Representative Bart Lebon. My opponent in the upcoming election believes hope is a strategy and that wishful thinking makes for sound fiscal policy. Our state business model is broken, and now is not the time for on-the-job training. We need an experienced leader in Juneau who has a strong business background with service experience on the House Finance Committee. I am honored to represent downtown Fairbanks and would appreciate your vote on November 3rd.
Paid for by the Bart Lebon for State House Committee.
Dan Sullivan claims to be independent, but he doesn't tell you that he has voted 97% of the time with his party. Dan Sullivan says of course he opposes Pebble Mine, but he doesn't tell you that as DNR commissioner he permitted it, and the Pebble CEO says they can count on Sullivan after the election. Dan Sullivan now says of course he favors covering pre-existing conditions, but he doesn't tell you the fact that he voted three times to repeal the law that enables Alaskans to be covered for all of their pre-existing conditions. He called rural Alaska the very soul of our state, and then, of course, voted for cuts to rural hospitals. Nor does Sullivan mention that his same votes would have thrown 62,000 Alaskans off of their current health coverage. We need an independent senator who puts Alaska ahead of his party.
Paid for by Independent Alaska, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. IndependentAK.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR Weather.
Look for some freezing drizzle today, possibly mixed with snow, patchy freezing fog, but then mostly sunny this afternoon, highs expected near 23 degrees. Partly cloudy with lows around 7 degrees tonight as we head to tomorrow for Thursday. Mostly cloudy with highs near 15, lows around 3. And Friday calling for a slight chance of snow in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a high near 10. And that's your latest Fairbanks area weather forecast.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with Joni Skillbred. We're talking about the model, quote, model marathon of 1909. It had a purse of $2,050 in gold, which is how much in today's, 70,000? about 27 times the amount. Yeah.
It's written on the side there. It's a quarter of a million, isn't it?
The price of gold was at $16 an ounce. Also, there was 128 ounces of gold, you know, as a side one. And that had a value of $241,536.
The purse that was put up, the winner was going to get 128 ounces of gold.
Yeah.
So the bottom figure written on there is the amount of the purse, the value of it.
And this was held at Gordon's, excuse me. Sorry about that. Fairbanks, Gordon's Roller Rink,
yes.
Saturday night, May 15th at 8:30 p.m. And the Model Cafe was one of the sponsors, Capel and Finn Proprietors. So the Model Cafe was going in 1909.
Yes. Yes, and it lists the racers on there. And they were... Jerry Sullivan, Nick DeMera, Jajiro Wada, George Lehman, Frank Alberg, Mato Grelivic, George Taylor, and George Darren. And this was a pretty interesting group of guys. They had to pay an entry fee of $100 each, which would be equal to about $2,600 in today's money. And a lot of them, you know, they would get backers who would come up with their entry fee money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the purse had been secured. There were some races that were run before this, and it just got the interest up. And they decided to run this race that was going to bring the best of the
best. Whoever wins this race is going to win $250,000.
Yes, winner take all. Yes.
Whoever wins this race, one more time. In Fairbanks, Alaska,
yes.
Is going to win
equivalent in today's money.
Yeah, held $250,000.
Yes. So let's say that you're going to go over to, I don't know, a gymnasium somewhere in town, and you pay $2,600 each, and you can have a chance to win $250,000. What do you think would happen?
Lots of skullduggery and shenanigans.
Yes, it would be. That's, you know, people will do anything for that kind of money.
So what happened, Joni?
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of these entrants before we get into the
story of
the race.
You're bringing us in slowly.
So Jerry Sullivan was the marathon champion from Nome. He was WADA's main competition, and they had run head-to-head together. I mean, Jerry Sullivan won as many races as Jajiro WADA did. And he was of Irish descent. This is an international race. He was of Irish descent. And the Nome, when they were putting this race on, they were getting telegraphic messages from Nome wanting to know the latest stats. They were betting heavy on their boy Sullivan from Nome, and they were driving the telegraph operators nuts.
Hold it, you ready for a phone call?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Lee.
Hello, Lee.
Hey, I had an important call. I missed part of the show, and I just got back to it, but just for a point of reference, $16 an ounce gold. What year was that?
1909.
Today, it's roughly $1,900, which is about 120 times that price.
Yes.
In not too many years after later.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just crazy, but that's a fact. So I'll get off the phone, and I certainly enjoy your tale. In fact, I enjoy you every time you come on, no matter what you're talking about, whether it's a tale or history or whatever.
She is special.
You are a very special person to this community, thank you for being here. And I've only been here 73 years, so I don't remember much in the first few, and I'm not remembering much in my latter few. But your tales are totally interesting.
Thank you, Lee. You have a great day, buddy. Talk to you later.
You too. Bye now.
Okay, so we know who Jerry Sullivan is. Nick DeMera, he was the local Fairbanks favorite, and he was of Greek descent. And he arrived here with his brother. They were woodcutters north of town in the hills. And he got into marathon racing because when they held one of the first endurance races here, he got told he should run because he's Greek. Therefore, he's going to clean up because he's a natural born
marathoner.
Greek.
Yeah,
he's going to win just because he's Greek. And he got into it for a side of bacon. Somebody gave him a side of bacon to enter a marathon race. And he ran several of them before this race, and he won every race he ran.
Okay.
So Jajiro Wada, we've talked about him. George Lehman was the youngest entrant, and he was a local champion of 10-mile races. So they would run these 10-milers in the summer, and he would clean up on those. So he was, you know, a lot of people thought he would do pretty good. Frank Alberg, he got in there, but he didn't. I don't think that he was much of an athlete. There's not a lot of information about him, but he is buried in the Clay Street Cemetery, and he dropped out at the start of the race. So he never did actually complete it.
Okay.
Mato Grelvik, I don't know very much about his background. Looks like Slavic name. George Taylor, he was one of the local favorites. He was 53 years old at the time of this race. And he was a Fairbanks endurance athlete and an old-time musher. And he used to get in these races. And he would do pretty good at 53 years of age,
wow,
which is pretty impressive. And then we have George Darren, who was a racer from the Creek Camps. And he was considered the dark horse favorite.
And the dark horse favorite.
Yes.
Okay.
He was the dark horse. So that's our lineup for the race.
Yeah. Now they have, 2,000 people run it. Outdoors. Mm.
Yes. So they have to train for this. So they take them to the roller rink, and they all go in there, and they have these training sessions. And while they have these training sessions, men pour out of the bars, and they pour into the roller rink, and they are going to bet on the training runs. I mean, there's so much money floating around. It's unbelievable. And they're betting, and they find all of these different ways to bet, and they spread all of these stories about these guys, and the newspapers just go nuts with it. In the meantime, they schedule the race, and then there's arguing over from the top three guys. They're going, well, that's not enough money. We want more. And they kept negotiating. They said, well, one of them would say, I'm not going to get in the race unless the purse is bigger. And that's how the purse got settled on this $2,050 in gold. And it was put up by Cathcart and Finn. And they were the ones that guaranteed the purse.
The Model Cafe.
So finally, that was enough to get everybody in, and they settled on the $100 entry fee. So they're going along and they're racing, and in one of these, on the 5th of May, which is 10 days before the race, there was a training run, and the crowd was cheering Jajiro Wada, and Jajiro Wada decided to take it for all it was worth, and he starts showboating, and he did not like Nick DeMera. And Nick DeMera did not like Jajiro Wada at all. And Jajiro would be ahead, and then he would pull back, and he would let Nick go ahead. And then Jajiro would surge ahead and start showboating and waving his arms and trying to humiliate Nick.
Okay, Fairbanks, we are going to take a break for the Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather. And we'll be back with Joni Skillbred talking about the great race of 1909 and the shenanigans that took place. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
A federal judge ordering the Postal Service to reverse Postmaster General Louis DeJoy's plans to limit late and extra mail collection trips.
Judge Emmett Sullivan wrote that USPS personnel are instructed to perform late and extra trips to the maximum extent necessary to increase on-time mail deliveries, particularly for election mail.
Fox's John Decker in Washington. The Trump administration says it's developing plans to have Medicare and Medicaid cover the cost of coronavirus vaccines.
White House Communications Director Alyssa Fair says the administration is getting close to a vaccine.
We're still very confident that by the end of the year, we will have a safe and effective vaccine on the market for millions of Americans.
The pending new regulation is designed to cut red tape for delivering vaccines to vulnerable populations.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Trump administration yesterday approved ConocoPhillips' large oil project called the Willow Project in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. The decision sets the stage for construction near a prized conservation area in the largely undeveloped region on the North Slope that has seen increased industry attention in recent years. The federal government's record of decision was signed Monday by Interior Secretary David Bernhardt. It will allow up to 3 drill sites, a processing facility, and gravel roads and pipelines. 2 more drill sites and additional roads and pipelines also proposed by ConocoPhillips can be considered later, according to the federal Bureau of Land Management. And finally, a man who was the first among a few Alaska residents to face charges for violating a coronavirus quarantine order has been killed in a shooting. Alaska Public Media reported that 48-year-old Dwayne Fields died October 21st at the Anchorage Hotel where he lived and worked after helping break up a fight. Police have not immediately made any arrests. Fields was not yet on duty for the night shift, but was helping another employee break up the fight. One of the people involved in the altercation left and then returned with another person and shot Fields through windows on the hotel's front door.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Al Gross is not an independent. He's a liberal Democrat pushing an anti-Alaska agenda. Here's Gross caught on tape with outside millionaire donors admitting he's a liberal.
I will caucus with the Democrats. Most of my values are to the left.
So far left, Gross will help the D.C. liberals pass their anti-Alaska Green New Deal. Banning energy development on federal lands, stopping any Alaska energy production across our North Slope, destroying thousands of Alaskan jobs. Al Gross is with the Lower 48 liberals, not Alaska. There's a better choice. Dan Sullivan is fighting to get Alaskans back to work. Sullivan passed the law that finally opened up ANWR, and he's expanded energy production on the North Slope, helping to create thousands of good-paying jobs. Dan Sullivan is on Alaska's side.
I'm Dan Sullivan. I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Alaskans for Dan Sullivan.
What do we really know about Al Gross? He's not actually an independent. Gross is backed by D.C. liberals and told out-of-state donors his values are to the left. We also know Gross made millions in profits from healthcare, then invested big in drug companies. He brags about it. Here's Gross in his own words.
We all know that money has a tendency to corrupt, and there's been a lot of money on the table.
Gross pushed a scheme that would take away your employer or union health insurance, raise taxes on middle-class Alaska families, and force Alaska's rural hospitals to close. Making millions off healthcare while pushing a scheme to hurt Alaskans' care? What's that say about Gross?
Some of you may consider me a hypocrite for having profited off the system.
Al Gross's hypocrisy is bad for your health care. Reject Al Gross for U.S. Senate. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with Joni Skillbred talking about the great race, the great marathon of 1909. And
in May of 1909.
And it's indoors.
Yes.
They're having training runs, and there's some, you know, there's some bantering and positioning going back and forth, even in the training runs.
Well, I'm going to read an excerpt out of an article that shows kind of the fevered pitch that this was starting to get to. This is from the Daily News Miner, May 5th, 1909. Long smoldering prejudice and dislike between Wada and Demerara broke into open warfare yesterday when Greek and the Japanese brought out all negotiations to a close and fought it out for a solid hour. Banzai, 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 banzai. Three time. It was a Japanese day. One for wild joy and for color waving by Wada, and a time for Demerara to nurse a grouch and threaten blue murder.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Packed house of spectators yelled in ecstasy and raved over the battle royale for the whole time, having never been treated to such a show since Demerara and Wada beat off the first few miles of their second race. It all started when Wada dropped down on the track and began coursing it at his regular training pace, a gait of 9 to 9.5 miles an hour. This is a little faster than the Greek works. Therefore, often during the time the two are on the track, Wada sails by the Greek to the excruciating satisfaction of the crowd, which is almost solidly with him and against Demerara. Demerara had stood for the hooting and cheers until yesterday. Well, this got rather ugly. And this goes on, and it talks about how Wada is toying with Demerara for the attention of the crowd on the track. And it says, it ends up here, a deafening cheer for Wada rended the air. One by one, every runner dropped off the track, leaving Japanese and Greek to fight it out. With the Greek gone, Wada had the rank to himself and was still running easily. As he left the track, he stopped and, facing the big crowd, folded his hands on his chest and bent his head in the most profound bow. Wada is glorifying in perfect condition for the first time since he's been running in Fairbanks. Free from foot or leg trouble of any sort, he is happy, confident, and hungry for racing, and he frankly does not like Mr. Greek and has taken no pains to conceal his sentiments. If there is any way in the world to do it by fairly putting forth effort and taxing endurance, Jujiro Wada will flaunt the Mikado's colors in front of the swarthy son of Athena a week from Saturday night when the big races run.
They did not like each other.
They did not like each other, and the press was
egging it on.
They do the same thing today.
Yes, they do.
So people read this, and more people go to show up for these training runs. Well, things start getting ugly. And it turns out that at the training run that was run on the 10th, Demerara had enough. And a scuffle ensued. And Demerara pushed Wada, and Wada pushed Demerara back. The crowd broke loose, and they got on Demerara and started pummeling him. And Wada had gotten injured, and he got helped up. And Pat O'Connor, he was the marshal, and he's trying to pull people off of Demerara. And
this is a training session.
Yes, this is a training session. Things were getting ugly. Well, finally he gets this scuffle broke up. And Wada goes out on the track and is finishing his runs, so he can finish out his training run. And this article says that he had only made a few laps when Demerara appeared dressed in his street clothes. He crossed the course just ahead of Wada, going the direction of the rear door. Wada tightened up his pace a little and in a few steps overtook Demerara. Stopping short, he unloosed a left hook on Demerara's jaw and with admirable skill followed it with a thudding right across. Again, the crowd broke loose and started after the Greek. Fred Carter grabbed him and fought the crowd back, and Chief O'Connor gathered Wada into his arms, and each started for the opposite exit with his captive. This broke up the whole affair, which is to be aired in the police court today. So they go to court.
They really don't like each other.
No, they don't like each other. And now Damara was beat up pretty bad by the crowd. And Wada was injured. He has an injured hip. And this race is just in a few days.
Yeah.
And things are this ugly already. So they go to court. And the headline says for this court article, Marathon Mad Town in a Frenzy. Game supplements, all other talk, occupies the court and checks business. Fighting racers are fined. Bitter rivalry proves big ad for race. Nearly all seats are now sold.
So basically, it was a promotional tour. The fights.
Oh yes, I mean,
and the everybody. And the practices, the trial runs were promotional tours.
So they get into court, and the judge fines Wada and Damara $10 each. And this is $10 in 1909.
So it's about $250 now.
Yeah. And so they both pony up the money. They hand their money over and gladly pay it. And this Walter Dean was involved in this fight, too. And he ended up, he was fighting to save Wada's honor. So I guess he's the one that really wailed on Damara. So he got fined $15 or 30 days digging stumps, and he didn't have any money.
Ooh.
And he's looking before the judge, this article says, and he's starting to be kind of concerned thinking about the prospect of the next 30 days with the shovel in his hands. And Wada pulled the money out of his pocket and gave it to him, so he got to pay his fine, which was $15. So the next article that I found on this is the next day. It says that Wada's hip is causing him problems. He took a hard fall when he got shoved by Damara. But he felt that at the training run, he said that he was hopeful that he would recover by the time the race was to be run. And it said there, it gave a little bit of information on him. It said, this afternoon, he weighed in at 118 pounds, 10 pounds less than the figure at which he started his training. So he had lost 10 pounds during this couple weeks of training that they were doing.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. Joni Skillbred here. We're talking about the marathon race of 1909, and boy, it's a humdinger, and we'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Dan Sullivan, more hiding. It's now reported in Salon.com that Sullivan, quote, routinely voted for policies that benefited his family's chemical company, unquote. The company paid over $2 million in fines, including for releasing hazardous waste. Sullivan voted against oversight of the family business while cashing in almost $500,000 in stock. Dan Sullivan profited from polluting the environment.
This is Al Gross. Monica and I raised our kids to love Alaska and respect our environment as much as we do. It's why they worked on our commercial fishing boat so they could pay their way through college. And like every Alaskan parent, we hope they'll be able to stay here and succeed. It's why I'll work so hard in the Senate to protect our fisheries and rebuild our economy. Because it's not getting done. I'm running for Senate, and I approve this message for every Alaskan family.
Paid for by Dr. Al Gross for U.S. Senate.
Al Gross is deceiving you. The real Al Gross? He's another liberal Democrat. He owns a multi-million dollar mansion in Santa Barbara, California, and that's where his liberal ideas come from, too. Al Gross supports radical environmental policies that would cut oil production by 45%. And liberal Al Gross supports massive job-killing tax increases. Liberal Democrat Al Gross is backed by the most liberal Democrats in Washington, like Chuck Schumer, and the coastal elites who are flooding his pockets with campaign cash. Gross is taking their money to pass their agenda. He's not who he says he is. Democrat Al Gross. He's as liberal as California, and he'll represent them, not us. Vote against Liberal Democrat Al Gross. NRSC is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.nrsc.org.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Alignments protect your vehicle's steering system as it extends the life of your tires. Book yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Look for some freezing drizzle today, possibly mixed with snow, patchy freezing fog, but then mostly sunny this afternoon, highs expected near 23 degrees. Partly cloudy with lows around 7 degrees tonight as we head to tomorrow for Thursday. Mostly cloudy with highs near 15, lows around 3. And Friday calling for a slight chance of snow in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a high near 10. And that's your latest Fairbanks area weather forecast.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. And streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here. And before we go back to our regular program, I want to give a shout out to the Chamber of Commerce, who's doing their 80 days of local business and to feature. And this week is the Alaska Restaurant Supply, Aurora Energy Solutions, Fairbanks Community Museum, the Banks Ale House, and Emboit Dance Boutique. Also with that, Bobby Wilkin of Hoodoo Brewery, he is releasing their 8th anniversary already, and he's releasing their anniversary pumpkin ale made with local pumpkins. And so it's only a pumpkin ale in Fairbanks with local pumpkins. Also, though, other stuff on the horizon. Their Centennial ESB will be out next week in a week or two. And their delectable, his favorite, Bobby's favorite, is the vanilla porter. And it will be released at Thanksgiving, a robust porter aged in Madagascar bourbon vanilla beans. Ugh.
Mmm.
Now, these, we're going to have to take a little break at 11:55, too, for two commercials, but...
Oh, we're getting close to the end.
Okay, okay.
So, right before the race started, they figured up what the total amount of the betting on this race was worth, and it was an aggregate figure of $30,000. In today's money, that computes to $858,000 on this
race.
Race
on this,
this one race.
And they got Gnome on the Barbie.
Yes, and this this does not count the prize money.
Yeah.
This is the betting on this race. These guys are just
insane. So it's a $1 million race.
Oh yes. Oh yes. None save Sullivan, Wada, and Demera and Taylor are figuring in the betting. So all the betting is on these four guys. The rest of them, the bettors don't think they have a chance of winning. So the race happens. And they get out there and they start. Some of them didn't make it through. And pretty much the race revolved around the top four. It was Sullivan, Wada, Demera, and Taylor. They get out there, and Sullivan starts the race with a blistering pace. I mean, he was going all out. And they have to, you know, if he starts it with that, the rest of them have to kind of keep up, or he's going to end up taking it. You know, you've got that part of it. Well, he couldn't keep it up. And in the 14th mile, he collapsed and was out. He limped the rest of the way. They said a schoolboy could have outrun him for the rest of the race. But he said that, you know, he burned himself out.
Yeah.
So now it's down to Taylor, Wada, and... Demera. And Wada, he started having cramps, and he was in a tremendous amount of pain. They said it was cramps. I'm guessing it was probably his hip.
Yeah.
And he was in a tremendous, tremendous amount of pain, but he still finished the race. But he wasn't going to finish the race in the money. You know, he was out. So it came down to Damara and Taylor. Now, Taylor's 53 years old. And the race was run by Damara, and he won it in 2 hours, 13 minutes, and 7 seconds.
How long? 2 hours.
2 hours, 13 minutes, and seven seconds.
Wow.
Taylor came in second, and he did it in 3 hours, 38 minutes, and 55 seconds.
So the one gentleman, he averaged about 12 miles an hour, the winner.
Yes.
Damara. Wow.
And, but Taylor, he was the grand old man, you know,
yeah.
And that was quite an accomplishment for him. Grelvich and Lehman were never seriously in the race. Lehman's leg, as expected, gave out on him early, and he quit the track on the fourth lap of his sixth mile. Grelvich lumbered along until the latter half of the race, but was so far behind he quit at 22 miles, 12 laps. Wada stayed into the eighth lap of his 26th mile when his seconds literally dragged him from the track. Though his race was hopeless, there was no quit in the long-suffering little Japanese. Sullivan quit at 19 miles and 18 laps when he had reached the limit of all endurance and staggered to his dressing room.
Wow. So the Greek won it.
Yes.
Damara.
Yes. So then a few days later, there was an article in the paper about Nick Damara. And, you know, as I said earlier, he came to Fairbanks with his brother. And they were woodcutters. And they had spent all winter cutting wood. And they had a wood pile that had 500 cords of wood in it. And it was north of town. And there was a forest fire. This is in the middle of May. You know, this is when our fires spring up. And there was a forest fire, and it was taking structures and wood piles and everything else. And that forest fire was coming over the hill and heading for Damara's wood pile. And here he is. He wins $250,000. And he was very distressed about this fire that was about to consume his entire winter's work. And this is cutting 500 cords of wood by hand. And
so he was cutting 2 to 3 cords a day by hand.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make him that tough anymore.
Yes, well,
he did not have a chainsaw out there, so to speak.
The article says, "This story about Tanana's marathon champion being a humble woodchopper is no idle fiction. Indeed, anyone who has ever studied the geography of Nick's expanse of shoulders, note the thick rounded buttes on his biceps and forearms, and studied the surface indications of his palms would ever doubt his claim as an early Lincoln-like habitat." There is still a chance that the destroying agent will overlook the Damara woodpile, and the friends of the boys earnestly hope that he will be spared, for it'd be a shame for them to have to suffer such a setback right at a time when they appear to have their fortune within easy grasp.
Fairbanks, with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and hopefully we'll be back. Sometimes these engineering marvels that sort of messed me up, but we'll be back after these messages.
Frontier Outfitters is a proud sponsor of Shooter's Corner, your source for news and conversation on guns and your Second Amendment rights, local events, important legislation, and more. Whether for personal protection, hunting, or target competition, if you shoot, Frontier Outfitters has what you need. And the Alaskan proven outdoor equipment for your next adventure, hunting, fishing, camping, and hiking. When you head outdoors, head to Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. Listen in Thursday mornings at 11 to Shooter's Corner right here on KFAR.
There are many issues in this election, but without life, nothing else matters. Sadly, Al Gross and Elise Galvin want to deny the most basic right to life to unborn babies. Al Gross and Elise Galvin want abortion until birth, and they want you to pay for it with your tax dollars. Al Gross should never be in the U.S. Senate, and Elise Galvin should never be in the U.S. House. Dan Sullivan and Don Young will fight to protect unborn babies. Dan Sullivan and Don Young support laws to keep your tax dollars from paying for abortion and Dan Sullivan and Don Young support laws to protect unborn babies from painful late dismemberment abortions. Unborn babies can't vote, but you can. Vote for the voiceless in this election. Vote for life. Vote for Dan Sullivan for U.S. Senate and Don Young for U.S. House.
Paid for by the National Right to Life Victory Fund at nrlvictoryfund.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. NRL Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with Joni Skillbred, and we made it back from that commercial break there.
We did.
Yeah, you know, so what the heck. Anyway.
So to finish our story up, DeMera, after this winning of the race and everything, went to New York City, and he wanted to run another marathon, and he wanted to run with the best marathoners in the world.
Okay.
His times were competitive with those other guys. And there's a newspaper article from Pittsburgh about him. He went there in 1911. It says, the other day he arrived in New York looking for a chance to run against the best in the world. I've gone the marathon distance on a track, 24 laps to the mile in 2 hours, 51 minutes, said DeMera. Up in Fairbanks, we ran on the trotting track, but it was like mud ankle deep, and I can run all day. He was referring to the outside races over the 4th of July there. And he said he didn't see any reason why he shouldn't run as well against the best that New York had to offer. So he went on to do that and then died just a couple years after that, but it didn't say what he died from. So that kind of ends our story. And after that, Fairbanks, they held a couple marathon races like 4th of July, but there was never another big one like that with heavy betting.
Fairbanks, we're going to leave it there, and you have a great day. Joni, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I will see you on Friday.
It isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. Or, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about with a healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/Liberty today. If approved, you'll get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/Liberty. GetRoman.com/Liberty.
A colonel in the Marine Corps, Dan Sullivan is the only member of the U.S. Senate who is currently serving in the U.S. military. Named the 9th most effective senator out of 100, Sullivan delivers for Alaska. Senator Sullivan has created thousands of energy jobs, strengthened our military, protected our veterans, and led the charge to clean up our oceans and protect our fisheries. Here's Dan Sullivan.
In the Marines, our motto is Semper Fi, always faithful. As your senator, I've worked hard to honor my commitments to Alaska, expanding energy production and providing veterans with better care, bringing the F-35s to Eielson, and passing Save Our Seas to keep our oceans clean. Now the stakes are higher. I'm fighting even harder to keep Alaskans safe and to get our economy moving again. Our best days are ahead. I'm Dan Sullivan. I approve this message. I'd be honored by your vote.
Paid for by Alaskans for Dan Sullivan.
Problem Corner, Patriots Lament, The Buzz, and Health Talk. Local programs to help inform you. Only on KFAR 97.5 FM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Temporarily on the same.